again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tonight it's very clear, as we're both lying here, there's so many things I want to say.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch just one time and last for a lifetime.
That's not really a question. I think I just have a proposal, and I don't know if this is the time to do it.
Let's do it.
So I'd like to propose that the Board of County Commissioners eliminate community support funds this coming fiscal year.
I would agree with that. It's highlighted on page 51 for me. At the cost of $211,000.
So the community support funds are what we call, used to be called discretionary funds, but Pam Childers said you need to institute a process for this. The county sort of did. They still do it in a way that at least some of the time she objects to and thinks it's not legal, but they rebranded it as community support funds, and Steve Stroberger, a county commissioner for District 1, who's up for re-election, says, I don't like these funds. I want to get rid of them.
So I don't think this is a reflection on the outstanding work that the nonprofits do. They deserve our appreciation, and they're a valuable part of our community. My concern is with the funding mechanism itself. It shouldn't be through the individual commissioner sponsorship. I think that's the biggest problem I have, and I think eliminating this fund removes any public perception of influence or unequal access to public funds. I think it will restore some public confidence.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people have been saying this for years, saying that these discretionary funds are a problem, especially when they're used for sort of charitable purposes, let alone when they're done at the discretion of the individual commissioner. Now, it's always been the case that each commissioner had their own slice of the funds, $50,000 a year, but they had to get the use of them approved by the other commissioners. And occasionally that has been used by other commissioners to bully certain commissioners. You know, I think famously in the case of Doug Underhill, commissioners voted to use his funds in ways he did not want to use and refused to use them in the ways he did want to use them. But that's a story for an old day. The point is it was never one commissioner just could spend it out of his pocket. They did always have to come before the board. Now, remember, Lumen May, if you didn't catch the 5 o'clock hour, this will be all day. This budget hearing is an all-day thing. It's a lot to talk about. Lumen May is already upset. He's already on tilt over the challenge of Ashley Hoffberger calling the human services funds, you know, helping people out with their utilities or their rent when they can't pay them, out of general funds, property tax revenue. She called it charity. He said, how dare you? And then he threw a bunch of smoke up about how all these other things are charity, too. So he's already on tilt in this meeting. And in this case, he says, look, I don't know why we're talking about these community support funds. We're in litigation over this. And yeah, that's true. But Allison Rogers says, well, as long as you don't discuss the case, it's fine. And, you know, Lumen May's like, well, Ray Charles can see that we're in a lawsuit. And
Allison, Commissioner.
Well, it's impossible to talk about the issue at hand without discussing the issue that will be presented in court. So I don't know how you would not talk about it. And so... It clearly is in litigation. I mean, Ray Charles can see that in the newspaper that we're in litigation, so that's not a big secret.
Ray Charles can see in the news. But, I mean, he's funny. But what Allison was saying, as long as you don't talk about the case, you're fine. And, by the way, if they vote to eliminate community support funds entirely as a concept, it might even be argued that that makes moot the court case. Now, that doesn't let them win or pay the money, but at least it stops the litigation, which he's always complaining about. Mike Kohler says, wait, what do you mean? Are you talking about, like, military funds? No, that's fine. That's generating revenue, so that's not the issue. But Lumen, who loves the discretionary funds, loves the human services funds, loves the ability to help out people that he thinks are in need. Charitable view of that is that he's doing good with government. Uncharitable view is that he's rewarding people who will support him politically. You have to decide what you believe about these things.
Allison, how does...
Discretionary is just a word. The discretionary funds have long been gone, voted on, new policy, new principle. There's no such thing as discretionary funds. So we bring up discretionary funds, that's just... It used to be, but it's called the community support.
I agree with that. And see, it's not
discretionary funds anymore. Why are you talking about it? Well, it's the same thing done with a little different name and a little bit different process. So, you know, arguing that it doesn't exist anymore is a bit of a mislead.
I had this discussion yesterday with Allison, Madam Attorney, is that we've never really had discretionary funds. You can't do what you want. I can't do what I want. It always comes to a vote.
That's true.
And I still believe, according to the law, that we have the discretion to determine what public interest is. I believe that. But I want to eliminate all of that.
So he believes, like Ashley had said this earlier, that they have the legal authority to do the funds. He just doesn't think it's a good use of one person's property tax revenue to do these things for other people. And even though it does come to the full board vote, that's what Ashley has said. That's what Steve Stroberger said. So that's now two votes to end the community support funds, what used to be called discretionary funds. This is going to get fun real quick, but hang on. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Navarre Parkway and Navarre Beach Causeway. They're saying the right lane is blocked, so use caution through that area. Also, a vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, right near Scenic Highway. Use caution there. Also, a disabled vehicle on the roadway, Pensacola Boulevard, West 9 Mile. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. PJ, back to the Escambia County Commission meeting, Lumen May, about the, again, currently called community support funds, formerly called discretionary funds.
And Commissioner Stroberg, and I respect that. So when you look at the overall budget of $50,000, and most people have never expended, I don't think Commissioner Barry's spent very much. I had, and I think other commissioners have not. Maybe that sounds good in an election year when someone wants to be a fiscal conservative and talk about not helping poor people, not giving to charities. That's a great conversation. It's a great soundbite because somebody may write about it in the paper, but it's really a distraction on things that we really have to address in this budget.
Okay, it is only $250,000. That's correct. It is a small slice of the overall county budget of plus $800, almost $900 million, or I think general fund out of property taxes is more in the $250, $300 million vicinity. He's right. It's a very small portion of that. But nevertheless, if we're talking about tightening the belt and getting voter support for, you know, incentivizing them not to come after the property tax referendum, it's a way of showing, you know, goodwill or restraint by the government. So that's true. But he's alleging that Steve Stroberger, and he will allege that Ashley, this is not serious. This is all just election year stunt making or, you know, grandstanding. So then what is going to become one of the key parts of this conversation, it's a small question. Ashley often understates her points. And she says, so, you know, hey, we've got this new rule on the rollback rate for millage that doesn't it require us to have four votes anytime we're going to pass anything higher than the rollback rate? That's where the county would collect the same amount of revenue on the increased taxable base of your property values by having a lower amount, and anything above that is considered a tax increase by the state. Currently, you have to advertise it as a tax increase, but you still only need three votes to pass it. You need four votes to pass anything which raises the actual millage. So she's like, what does this new law mean? And Allison Rogers explains.
So my understanding, and certainly Stefan can jump in if I get off the rails here, but my understanding is now going forward, in order to go to the rollback rate, it only takes the three votes, but to keep the millage as is going forward to the next fiscal year would take four votes. So to keep the millage at the status quo, when you get to your budget hearings in September, you're going to need four votes.
That's vital because why do the math? There's five county commissioners. That means now you have the power for two commissioners to veto the budget. because it takes four to pass it unless they go at the rollback rate, and they're not going to go at the rollback rate. Now, they could pass it with three at the rollback rate, but Steve Stroberger and Ashley Hoffberger theoretically could veto the budget if it's anything above the rollback rate. So just keep that in the back of your head as we continue this conversation. So Mike Kohler, who is, it's important to know, like very, very, very good friends with Steve Stroberger. Like Steve was his chief of staff. They were buddies. They worked together and get along great, both, you know, retired military. So now Steve is saying, I don't want to do discretionary or the community support funds. Mike Kohler.
Commissioner Stroberger, I was going to do this to you, but you know what? I'm going to now. And the thing is, we went through the budget, and none of us got $11,000 additional for an employee. And so, I mean, I think it's neat that, you know, we want to talk about being fiscal conservatives all the time, but we need to be fiscally conservative all the time.
Like, you got an additional employee that none of us have, and it's $11,000, and where is your fiscal conservatism now?
And I,
this is, again, one friend, retired Navy guy, talking to another friend, retired Navy guy, who used to work together.
And I, none of the rest of us get an extra employee with benefits. And no one here said anything.
Well, we all voted on it.
We haven't voted on anything.
We
let's
did.
Just, let's just propose
it. We voted on it last year. We approved it in the budget last year. I vividly remember it.
That's fine. Maybe we shouldn't vote on it again.
So Mike is upset that Steve asked for this money for an employee when Mike approved it. So, you know, you can be upset, but then you voted for it, right?
The bottom line is, for me, I'm getting exhausted on hearing about being a fiscal conservative when it comes to a park bench or a food pantry, and then we have all kinds of other stuff out here that people aren't taking seriously with fiscal conservatism. If you know better, do better. Not once in a while, all the time.
So a lecture from Mike Kohler about how y'all are only fiscal conservatives on the big newspaper potential issues or radio show potential issues, but you're not conservative across the board.
Now, I will agree with you that if you want to argue about community support funds, I believe, guy asked me yesterday about a bench in Navy Points, rusted out. I don't know how many people in Escambia County is going to use that bench. Probably hardly any. But should it be replaced? I think it should. If Mike Rhodes doesn't have the money, should we be able to give that money? I think we should. I believe in that. I know you do, too.
Which is the kind of thing that would formerly have been a discretionary fund item and now is community support funds. But the idea is, can we replace park benches? Sure, of course we could.
I just don't think that we should give up our right for public purpose. I don't. So I don't know why that came up. But
I'm not giving up the right. That's not what I'm doing. And if you're talking about, if you think that the customer services in District 1 is too good because I got too many employees, you're wrong about that. It is great. You're right about that. But I think I'm utilizing everybody exactly the way I should, because that's what we are. We're customer service in each of the districts, and I'm just trying to make sure we answer every phone call and get every email taken care of, and I don't miss anything. And I got lots of help to make sure I get that done. Great help, and I appreciate it, Connor. I appreciate Hassan. I appreciate the summer interns we have. So I'm keeping it just the way it is. It works great for me.
So if you're upset that you gave me an $11,000 for a second part-time employee, well, guess what? It works great for me. You know, what's the issue? Lumen May?
Commissioner Stroberger, Commissioner Kohler, listen, I mean, to service the needs of the district, I mean, you need multiple hands on deck. So I don't have an issue with that. But, you know, there's no secret of my political position.
Liberal Democrat.
And if we're going to really put forth a good faith effort to tell citizens that they shouldn't vote for property taxes and that government is efficient, we should cut. So I'm not going to sit here and play fiscal conservative games about cutting out $50,000 in a community support fund to help the least of people when we don't have, my good conservative friends, we don't have enough grit to go ahead and say, let's cut it completely across the board. You know, do a 2% across the board. Do more with less. The financial impact of that $50,000 is a perception that's not a reality, that really doesn't have a fiscal impact.
Yeah, so what he's saying is that the 50, which for each commissioner times 5 is 250, is no significance in the grand overall budget. Let's have a 2% cut of the overall budget. Let's do, if y'all are going to, you know, be fiscal conservatives and be serious about cutting and trying to impress the citizens so that they think we're doing a good job with government and we're not wasting money, and then maybe they won't vote for the property tax referendum, which We don't get to vote on it individually for our county. It's the whole state. And so what does a cut in Escambia County prove to the whole state about, you know, where the budget should be? But I mean, it's I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying it's almost pointless to try to engage in local cuts unless everybody else does it across the state. Maybe then you have a chance.
We have the opportunity with this budget to make a fiscal impact on this community. But we're going to have the courage from this dais to make the cuts that we have to make cut. And so I'm not going, if we are going to surgically reduce and make cuts, let's do it. I'm willing to have that workshop and be here all day.
Okay, but what do you recommend we cut?
Hold on. When I finish talking, you can talk. I have the floor. And so whenever we want to put that on a committee, we can do it. But to come in every meeting, somebody says that it's community impact of discretionary funds because they're going to write a article in the newspaper. I'm not interested in that, nor will I be bullied by that, because I can just tell you, the people that are being helped are people that are really concerned about this, are the people that are the silent majority. Those who are yelling and screaming are not saying it.
So the PNJ or Channel 3 or News Radio does a story when people talk about community support funds or discretionary funds. He's not going to be bullied by all of that. And Ashley says, well, what are your cuts then? What are your specific cuts? No, this is my time. This is my time. I'm talking. That's going to become important in a moment. But we have to pause. We have to pause. We'll come back to this next hour because, as I say, it always builds. You've got a couple of people on about to be on tilt or already on tilt in this meeting. Lumen's been on tilt from the beginning of this meeting, and you'll see it on display here shortly. But we'll get to that. Be patient. It's coming. 7 o'clock. 6:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Navarre Parkway and Navarre Beach Causeway. They're saying the right lane is blocked. Use caution there. Also have a disabled vehicle on the roadway, Pensacola Boulevard to West 9 Mile Road. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. If you have a business, you have employees, you have to deal with the various forms of insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, health, basic health, managing HR, you know, doing payroll, all of the red tapey kinds of things that go along with having a business. Well, the good news is you have employees. The bad news is that takes extra work and management. And how do you do it? Well, yeah, maybe what you've got going on right now is great. I don't know. Could be. Or maybe you just want to know if it's possible to be better. Or, maybe you're like, I do not like what we have right now. Let's find a change. Well, why don't you call Torgerson Consulting? And you might think, what one company's the same as every other. Well, I'll just tell you in our experience, we've been working them for 5 years, Cat Country News Radio. I didn't know how good we didn't have it. And then we switched. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Now, they're not miracle workers, okay? The marketplace is what it is. But they have given us better choices, better plans, more affordable options, and largely just the power to make them, plus outstanding customer service for the last 5 years. So my wife, who is an industrial engineer, asks all the detailed questions, and they have good answers. Reed Torgerson is great. We appreciate him tremendously and the company. 433-9996. For 20 years, helping local businesses manage their benefits. Actually, 25 years, excuse me, for 25 years since 2001. Torgerson Consulting, online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hi, I'm Chris Roney, owner of Ace on Locks. I started Ace on Locks in Pensacola almost 30 years ago with a straightforward idea. To be the locksmith you'd want to call in a crisis. We'll always answer your call. Quote, honest, upfront prices and do the job right. For locks and security rekeying at home or business to new key fobs, Ace on Locks does it all. Licensed, bonded, insured. Available 24/7, 365. Ace on Locks. Find out more. Google Ace on Locks or visit aceonlocks.com.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're worthless.
I'm not worthwhile.
Somebody says 437-1620, public purpose is not paying thousands of dollars to the golf organization, like in the request to support a gala. Somebody else says, I got to switch back and forth between two screens here. Somebody says, where did it go? I just put it away. If you know better, do better. That's what Ashley said about community support grants a couple months ago. Mike using her own words against her, although I think he was talking to Stroberger. Maybe he's talking to her. This season of the county commission is good. I can't wait till the next episode. Somebody else says, oh, speaking of employees, how many employees do the Santa Rosa County commissioners have individually? it's a number smaller than one. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. The Department of Justice is asking the Supreme Court to restore President Trump's executive order that would restrict mail-in voting. That order directs the Department of Homeland Security to compile a list of verified citizens eligible to vote and also instructs the USPS to create rules to toughen requirements for states conducting voting by mail.
Yeah, you said he's asked, right? Supreme Court, that's what you reported?
Yes.
Yeah, he's asked because he's been losing at the other levels to try to get this done. The courts have basically put his executive order on pause. This is the one telling the USPS what to do with these mail-in ballots. And I would not think the Supreme Court's going to intervene in this on his side.
News. I'm Gianna Jalosi. President Zelensky of Ukraine is going to be in Washington today, making the case that Russia is helping Iran. Fox's Jennifer Griffin.
Ukraine says it struck an Iranian ship in the Caspian Sea that was carrying military cargo, highlighting the growing Russia-Iran partnership and eliciting anger from Iran's foreign minister.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be in town, too.
The pair are expected to discuss the war in Iran and the next steps forward in this conflict. We know the New York Post reports that Netanyahu will share intelligence with the president about Pickaxe Mountain next to the Natanz nuclear facility.
That's Fox's Trey Kingston, Tel Aviv. Both Zelensky and Netanyahu will attend a funeral today for the late Senator Lindsey Graham at Washington National Cathedral. It's the start of 2 days of services with a burial tomorrow in Graham's home state of South Carolina. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 79 degrees with cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Now, the Ferry Pass Community Center, including its new playground and outdoor exercise equipment, was all built using local option sales tax dollars. And that is where Escambia County hosted last night's open house to discuss the tax.
So LOST dollars in Escambia County are spent on various assets for the county. LOST dollars traditionally are not spent on salaries. Some of those assets include the community centers, the parks and playgrounds, fire trucks, ambulances, sheriff's vehicles, and all of those things help provide a better quality of life in Escambia County.
That is Commissioner Ashley Hofberger, who says drainage and infrastructure projects are also high on her list of priorities that are funded through the tax. Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore said about 90% of ambulances and fire trucks were purchased through LOST dollars. Mold has now been found in parts of the Beulah Fire Station, an $8.4 million building that opened only 2 years ago. Tests confirmed the presence of Aspergillus mold, a fungus that can pose risks to people with weakened immune systems or respiratory issues. Commissioner Steve Stroberger said firefighters are trying to avoid those affected areas, although the station does remain operational, and so far no illnesses have been reported. The county is still working to determine the cause and the cost of remediation. Now, the city of Milton having some issues with red light runners. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says there's been a lot of crashes.
Milton police are launching a traffic enforcement crackdown this August to target red light runners. Channel 3's reporting today, Chief Jennifer Frank says running red lights is the city's leading cause of crashes. After the city council removed all five red light cameras along Highway 90 and Dogwood Drive, this happening back in 2021, now officers are taking over in-person monitoring. The department will reassess crash and violation data after August to plan on their next move. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Santa Rosa County Commissioners are working on an ordinance to enforce a parking ban on the dunes in Navarre Beach. They're going to put out a bid for a towing company to handle those tows specifically.
My question from Brad, if you're going to do that, we can't pull from our regular rotations, which we share with FHP for traffic accidents. So they need to get their own towing contract so that our deputies can reach out to their contract. And Mr. Baker's working on doing that right now and kind of tightening up that ordinance down there.
And Chief Deputy Randy Tift from the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office there, he says signage that was previously in place along the dunes apparently at some point had been removed, leaving drivers without clear parking guidance. He says the county's working to restore all the proper no parking signs before enforcement on that can begin. And once the signage and that towing contract are in place, deputies then will have all the tools they need to start addressing the parking issues. Well, an Escambia County bar owner behind bars after a noise complaint that turned physical on Sunday. 40-year-old Courtney Wright, known as Pee-wee, owns R Spot on West Michigan Avenue. Deputies say Wright had blocked them from entering the business. He faces multiple charges, including battery on an officer, resisting arrest, and operating without a license. It's 6:35 at News Radio, and PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunk driving, your grief is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit madmadd.org. Taking a look at the big board, still working that vehicle crash. Let's see here. Navarre Parkway at Navarre Beach Causeway. They're saying the right lane's blocked. Just use caution through that area. Also have a disabled vehicle on the roadway, Pensacola Boulevard at West 9 Mile. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We will have just a small chance of rain this afternoon, 20% overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies and hot weather. Temperatures warming up into the upper 90s, near 100 for your actual temperatures, with heat index values up to 108 to 113. Heat advisories as well as an extreme heat warning is in effect on the coastline. Going overnight tonight, temperatures will drop near 81. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, another hot day back in the mid to upper 90s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it's a hot one already, 82 degrees and cloudy skies this morning. Heat index at about 95 already this morning. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Coca-Cola has reported its quarterly earnings and revenue that topped Wall Street estimates. For the full year, the company is now projecting comparable earnings per share growth of 9 to 10%. That is up from its prior forecast of 8 to 9%. Its shares are up 19% this year. UPS beat Wall Street expectations and raised its full-year guidance in its second quarter earnings report. The company reported revenue of $22.8 billion and adjusted earnings per share of $1.76. UPS is currently in the midst of a turnaround strategy. Microsoft is talking up its first artificial intelligence model for finding risky parts of source code. When connected with OpenAI's ChatGPT 5.4, the company says the new model can outperform Anthropic security models from a variety of companies. The model will work in project perception tools for finding and fixing vulnerabilities, which Microsoft will start testing in early August. Futures are mixed as chip makers slide. NASDAQ futures down by more than 200 points. That's your money now.
Well, it's official. My friends have all switched to Pure Talk because I told them they could save a bunch of money on a super reliable high-speed network with unlimited data. And because they're my friends, they trust me. As for the rest of you, well, Pure Talk understands that even though you might like me, you're not just going to take my word for it, nor should you. For that reason, and for a very limited time, Pure Talk is offering any of their plans for just $15 a month for the first 3 months, including their top-tier unlimited plan that normally sells for $65 a month. Think of it like a test drive, a super simple way to save $150 while you kick the tires on Pure Talk's blazing fast network, and a fine way to see for yourself why I switched from Big Wireless, along with a few hundred thousand of my closest friends. Dial #250, say micro, and be connected to Pure Talk's friendly U.S. customer service team. Again, dial #250, say micro, and let the savings begin.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Vinyl Revival, a six-piece band covering those classic hits from the 70s through the 90s, from Pat Benatar, Blondie, The Cars, The Cure, to Journey, AC/DC, and the Doobie Brothers. You can come out and enjoy at Bands on the Beach. No pets and no glass.
Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have former Speaker of the Florida State House, Paul Renner, who termed out in 2024. He is a candidate for governor for the state of Florida. I know we haven't done a lot of candidate interviews, but obviously we had one candidate on, so we're having any other candidates who are eligible and at the right level to ask me for it. And here we have Paul, who is traveling in Northwest Florida. Speaker, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Great to be with you.
Good to have you. Now, you were in Pensacola over the weekend, is that right? You're kind of in the Northwest Florida area right now?
I was, yeah. We were there, came through Chipley on Saturday and Pensacola on Sunday, Santa Rosa yesterday, and we're waking up in Okaloosa and Niceville this morning. It'll be here all day as we kind of make our way east.
Yeah, very good. Now, you were a naval officer. Did you retire? What did you do in the Navy?
Yeah, I was a surface warfare officer, so age 23. I was on the deck of the USS McInerney in Desert Storm going through mine-infested waters as officer of the deck, and I also led a small boat team of about five or six guys, two of which were explosive ordnance folks, and they'd swim over, you know, 20 feet or 30 feet, put some explosives on the mines, so we'd destroy those mines, pull them back in the boat, and, you know, something happened. It happened to us, not to our ship that was about a mile away. So then 20 years later as a Navy commander, then as an intel officer in Afghanistan, stopping foreign fighters from coming in to Afghanistan to kill us.
Okay. Wow, a bunch of different things, a SWO and then EOD, and then you're well, retired commander?
Well, I was an EOD. I was a SWO boat officer. I was in charge of the boat, but I had two EOD guys on board. Yeah. And then intel 20 years later.
Did you ever serve on the carrier at all?
No, I was on Perry-class frigate, USS McInerney, FFG-8, little small boys, they call them, and not a carrier. That's a whole different ballgame.
Been
on a carrier, but not served on one.
The only reason I was asking is because today is the final flight of the COD. The Greyhound is, C2 is having its very last flight ever after six decades in service. It's flying into NAS Pensacola, the last one to retire forever. They're going to the Ospreys entirely, so I will never get my carrier rest landing because they don't exist anymore for, you know, non-pilots. So.
Right, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, these things happen.
The slower approach.
That's right.
Yeah.
So why do you want to be governor?
Well, I don't want to go backwards. And like I helped build the free state of Florida as Speaker of the House. You know, those 2 years were described as being the best two that we've ever had in Florida. We got a lot done. It was a time when conservatives won every battle. And I don't want to go backwards is the why. So there's a lot of reasons why I'm better than the other candidates, but that's the why I'm running.
And so you obviously, you know, you were the speaker under Governor DeSantis, and now you've had 2 years to watch the interaction between the governor and the House. I mean, things have been very tense over the last couple of years. I think really dysfunctional between the governor's office and the House. What's kind of your observation and what you think you might be able to do as governor that would make things, well, either better or smoother or whatever, however you want to characterize it?
Well, first of all, I know everybody coming in. So, you know, I believe, as I did, one of the reasons why we got so much done is we kind of focused on the mission and let personality get in the way. But criticize in private, praise in public is what I would say is you know, there's blame to go around for sure for the last couple of years. But I would make sure that I sit down with the presiding officers and leadership in the House and Senate and say, what's important to you? And here's what I just campaigned on. I've got a contract with Florida that's a 100-day plan. It starts with affordability, taxes, insurance, electric rates, getting them all down. You know, stopping hyperscale data center construction, which I think is a bad deal for Florida. And you know, this is what I campaigned on. You know, what's important to you? And let's see if we can't work together to get, you know, all of the above, to the extent it's consistent with, you know, our principles.
So you made several like huge issue kind of things in that list. Pick any one of those, whether it's house insurance or, you know, utilities affordability or homeowner, you know, or just general affordability. I mean, car insurance is another one. You didn't mention it, but, you know, home itself affordability. Pick one and tell me what your plan is.
Well, I mean, I've got a plan to eliminate homestead property taxes, and I do that through a combination of savings and replacement taxes on people who vacation here, who speculate here, who are newer here, to get the burden off those who have made their home here for 20, 30 years. One of the saddest things in the campaign is meeting with people, usually elderly people on fixed income, who say, I'm leaving the state because I can't afford those things anymore, those three things we just mentioned. And so I've got a plan, specific plan. I'm the only one that's rolled out a comprehensive plan that's, you know, detailed, other than I'll do something about it. That's not, you can't pass a platitude. You can only pass a plan. And so obviously I could work with the legislature on that to see what they want to do. But that is my intention, is to actually eliminate it in full. That's not what's on the proposed ballot measured this year. But I've also got, you know, replacement taxes there for 911 services. So it's 2 minutes, not 20 minutes when you call 911. That's important as well. I've got the endorsement of Fraternal Order of Police. I love our first responders, our police and firefighters, and want to make sure we've got them covered. And obviously the other core services of government. And you got to also look on that one, Andrew's got to look at every county is different. You know, one size fits all doesn't. So I'm very sensitive to that. So I'd want to see, you know, a 2-year discussion before the 28 ballot was when this would happen, to make sure that we've got everything figured out. But there's some tightening that needs to happen. People are really suffering on all fronts. And so that would be one I would take. And I've got plans for the insurance as well.
We're talking to Paul Renner. He is a candidate for Florida governor, former Speaker of the House. Paul, hang on for just a second. Let me interrupt our conversation. I've got traffic on the fives with PJ. We'll be back in just a second.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries, Navarre Parkway and Navarre Beach Causeway. Are they saying the right lane is blocked? Just use caution through that area. I'm PJ with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Paul Renner, former Speaker of the House, candidate for Florida governor. On property taxes, just because that's the one you kind of were elaborating on a little bit. Philosophically, I have hated property taxes my whole adult life. I think philosophically they can't be justified. What frustrates me about the current proposal is that it doesn't eliminate the property taxes. It doesn't even touch the property taxes when it comes to schools. We're trotting out this argument that we're protecting people from having their home taken away, but I don't know why the $600,000 home doesn't deserve as much protection as the $250,000 home. And that doesn't even touch your rental properties or your business properties. It seems like the whole thing should go. Sounds like that's your plan. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like that's your plan. But also, you want to study it and roll out do it on a process with replacement tax, which the current proposal does not. It just says, here's your chunk, it goes away, and there's no solution for the alternative. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, and you're largely right. I mean, I've got help for Homestead. I go to $1 million and also small businesses to $750. And I'm getting a little feedback. I don't know if you hear that on your end, but also help for renters.
Yeah, it's good.
And then, you know, we have replacement taxes, but they're not a full replacement, to be clear. We want to see a lot of savings during those first 2 years. And that savings has to be a state partnership. So the state has to go and look at Medicaid, for example, and get rid of some waste, fraud, abuse. And if we save $1 billion out of the tens of billions we spend on Medicaid, we can use that to help the local governments pay down those property taxes. But I agree with you philosophically, it's not a just tax. My plan would begin us begin that process of elimination, and we can do that. I really do believe we can do it through a series of replacement taxes that would shift the burden in large part to people that are coming from outside to protect those who've been here for quite a long time and call Florida home. And you won't lose your home under my plan completely. It's not just on a part of property taxes. It's all of property taxes up to that $1 million assessment. And then obviously we can look at going higher as we go, if that's possible.
You know,
but it eliminates 95%.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan as long as we can find a viable pathway. That's the only thing that frustrates me about the current proposal is it's so blunt, it's so sudden, and I just don't think it's a very smart measure compared to what we should have done. Your background, well, you know, being Speaker of the House, of course, you were 8 years in the legislature. One of the concerns I always have, and I see it with Governor DeSantis, is somebody who's, you know, a legislator at heart, a lawyer at heart, you know, somebody who's good at arguing and reasoning and making policy, but being the executive is a completely different role, and it's a lot of, you know, management. And there's good things because you can act unilaterally, but there's bad things because you've got to be good at overseeing people and delegating. And there's a lot of administrative things that have either failed or fallen through the cracks, whether it's from replacing people on boards or, I don't know, misusing executive power. Those are concerns I have. So persuade me as a legislator that you would make a good executive.
Yeah, well, that's a great question for me because compared to the other candidates, there's really no comparison. I'll start with Speaker of the House and then I'll go back to the beginning. But, 500 or so employees in the state house that I'm managing. So you're an executive over the house operations, although it's in the legislative branch. So I alone among the candidates in this race have had that kind of executive level experience in state government. So we'll start there. I go back to the beginning, age 23, and I was leading a group of men during wartime at age 23 that I was responsible for, and that continued for 20 plus years in the military in two wars. So that's management experience, that's leadership experience, overseeing people that the other candidates you don't hear talk about because they've never done it. And so there's a total absence of qualification when it comes to any kind of experience in leadership. And you can add to that speaker or as a state attorney, I had a chance to be a supervisor there as well as some of my peers. You know, if there was a Miami Dolphins player arrested or to go into other courtrooms and oversee people that were hired around the same time as me. And I've had that battle testing too, I would add, you know, to have to try habitual or find a habitual offender. And if I don't prosecute him, you know, unanimously and beyond a reasonable doubt, that guy's going to go back out and commit another crime. So I've had unique experience that others haven't, and I would add to that private sector experience. I've started my own practice. I've been a partner in a law firm, you know, an owner of a building and hiring and firing and regulations and taxes and the whole thing that small businesses have to face. I've had the private sector experience as well. You bottle all that up, and there's just not – you can take everybody else's experience – and it doesn't add up to the experience I've had to be ready to stand in and be a chief executive.
Our local school districts, and I know they're not alone. It is all the school districts across Florida are facing some severe fiscal issues because, you know, they had been planning and building for one set of facts, and then along comes the, no income means limited voucher system, or what they call the scholarship program sometimes. And, you know, we're losing thousands of students to homeschool, private school, charter school, all of which I love as, again, somebody who we homeschooled our kids. But for the school districts, they are in trouble. They're all short money. They're all, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs. Now, what is your picture for the future? Do you picture an even more diminished role for public education as students go to other sources? You said you want to cut property taxes. I'm sure all of the pro public school folks that made parts of their body tense up in fear. So what is your picture of the future of educating our K-12 kids in Florida?
Well, and first of all, on the property tax front, you know, we got money to cover that. It's not, again, unlike this proposal, it has no backup whatsoever. We do have backup to cover, you know, essential services, and one of those is education, obviously. But I'm a champion. HB1 was one of the first things, as the name suggests, that I championed as Speaker of the House, which is educational freedom for parents who homeschool, for parents who want to go to a private school. but it's an option. And, you know, it's half of the money that, that a public school gets per kid. On average, it's about 15 grand. The scholarship's eight. So, you know, from a taxpayer standpoint, it's actually better for the taxpayers. But the bottom line is you should choose the school that best fits your needs. And if public schools are doing a fantastic job, people will be beating down the doors to get in. But you've got to also have an exit if they're not doing a good job to let them out and let them go to a different location where they can get a great education. So I was a public school kid. My mom was a public school teacher. So I don't want any listeners that are teachers to think I don't value our public schools. I do. I think we ought to continue to try to increase teacher salaries where we can. We did that when I was speaker. And so we want every kid, no matter where they are, to have a world-class education. But the bottom line is, you know, there's a number of factors driving what you described. One is the scholarship, but I don't think it's the dominant one. You've got issues of immigration where people aren't showing up for school that were, you know, maybe not here legally is an issue in some parts of the state. Also, we have fewer kids. And so we have fewer kids coming as the years go by. We have a declining population. That's another factor that will continue to affect our public schools the most, because most of our kids go to public school. And so these are things that we have to, you know, wrestle with. And we have problems when we have growth. We have problems when we have decline. And the local school districts are going to have to, you know, work through that to figure out how to best use the assets they have to fit the kids they have. But I want world-class public education as well. But it can't be Hotel California where there's an entrance but no exit.
You know, it's kind of funny if parents weren't already frustrated with at least some of the quality of schooling, offering them a voucher wouldn't do anything because they'd be happy with where they're at. The reason the voucher matters is because people are unsatisfied with where they're at and think they can get it better across the street. That's what, you know, to me, the issue is not the funding. The issue is the fact that they feel they have a better alternative out there, or hope they do. Paul Renner, he is a candidate for governor for the state of Florida. Of course, he is a former speaker of the House. Primary is coming up very quickly. Paul, thank you so much for the time, and thank you for your service as Speaker of the House. I really appreciate it, sir. Nice to talk to you. Get to meet you this morning.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You bet. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries, Navarre Parkway and Navarre Beach Causeway. They're saying the eastbound outside lane is blocked due to the crash. You can use caution in that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. If you're thinking about buying a home, if you're buying your first home, or, you know, I don't know if it's your 10th home, or, you know, you're adding rentals, whatever the case may be, downsizing, upsizing, just moving from one location to another, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, they're very good at this. And they know that the market is not like one big thing. You know, the market is, what's it, $400,000 in Gulf Breeze? What's it, $300,000 in Cantelment? What's it, you know, $800,000 in Navarre? Those are all different markets. And so knowing how to work within each one, knowing what the demands and requests and preferences are of the people who are looking at those homes, and figuring all of that stuff out takes a lot of experience. And for them, having sold 206 homes last year, which is four a week, which is crazy, it's not a guessing game. It's a knowledge. We know this works. We know this works. We know that does not work. Whenever you hear her talking on Pep Talk about how to stage a home, list it, price it, open house it, all that kind of stuff, it's from successful experience. And you get that when you talk to her and have her as your agent. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants to spend every day at Play and Stay Pet Daycare while I'm at work. Good thing I can translate doggy. What's that? They're the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian? That's right. She says they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where she loves to play with her friends. Where are they located? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is located at 4220 Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market. Online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Okay, come on, let's go. Good girl.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids Max Strength. Its dual-active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use it directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night from 5:30 to 8:30, join your friends and neighbors at Bands on the Bayou at Bayview Park in East Hill. Bring a chair or blanket and enjoy live music from the Bay Kings Band. Saturday night, it's Pensacola Unplugged, songwriter showcase at Studer Community Institute. It's an evening of acoustic performances from highly talented local songwriters. See Pensacola Unplugged on Instagram for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I would appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board District 3.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
A banana. Banana.
Yeah, it really is true. The Greyhound is retired. It's done. And last flight is today. The C2 that got so many people on and off of carriers is no more. Will not be flying anymore after today. The last one's going to fly into NAS Pensacola, go on display, and that's it. Osprey's for everybody. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a massive magnitude 7.1 earthquake is shaking southwestern Japan. The U.S. Geological Survey saying that quake's epicenter was in the coastal city of Uki just before 4:30 p.m. local time there. The good news so far, no major reports of injuries or damage.
Yeah, 7.1 is not the biggest, but it's not a small one either. I mean, that's a, you know, it's
nothing to sneeze at.
It's an exponential scale, right? So eights are devastating and sixes are, you know, wait, what just happened? Did somebody bump me? It's not so. Wow. All right. We certainly hope and pray for the best for them.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.